Amen. So this morning we're going to continue just encouraging ourselves and strengthening our convictions concerning the meetings as we prepare our hearts. Father, we thank you this morning for your word and your spirit. We thank you for the liberty that is ours to enjoy in Christ. We thank you for the grace that is made manifest at the teaching of your word, the understanding that is received. Thank you for the opening of hearts and the liberty of the spirit that we are called to enjoy. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Acts in chapter 2. Looking at things that pertain to the spirit. Acts in chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the writer of the book of Acts is Luke. And the writing in the book of Acts is an historical account of the fulfillment of the promise of God in the early church. So the reason why the book of Acts is critical and crucial to the Bible is that we have an historical account of how the promise having been fulfilled was demonstrated. That's crucial. So when you hear when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that is the interpretation of Moses' writing. Moses wrote about a Pentecost using figure of speech. Jesus taught about Pentecost as men indwelled by the Spirit of God. Say amen. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come here, he's bringing two major thoughts together. He's bringing the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets together, and then the fulfillment in the resurrection of Jesus. So when you hear where the day of Pentecost was fully come, he's referring to the fact that a promise has been fulfilled. That's important. Now, the reason again we look at the book of Acts is because we see a template for the church. This is the church of the risen Lord. This is how the church is meant to function. This is how the church is meant to operate. That's why when you don't have scriptures for your basis of conviction on anything, you are liable to be subject to all kinds of ideas. When we have Holy Ghost meetings, where do we get the teaching from? Where do we get the instructions from? Where is the template? We find it in the scriptures. So let me say it again. The old Holy Scriptures are the foundation. They contain prophecies and promises which Jesus came to fulfill in the four Gospels. Say amen. In the four Gospels, we have Jesus taking the prophecies and the promises and explaining them in the light of he being the fulfillment of the promises. Then when you move away from there, you come to the book of Acts, we find the promise fulfilled being demonstrated. Then when you come to the epistles, we have the doctrinal basis or the explanation of what has been fulfilled. That's important. So we use the different sections for different things, but holistically they are saying the same thing. Let me say that again. The Holy Scriptures contain the prophecies and promises without which there will be nothing for Jesus to fulfill. You understand that? So we cannot take away the Holy Scriptures because it's the foundation of Christian doctrine. All the epistles were taken by interpretation from the Holy Scriptures. All the epistles. What we have in the epistles today, the foundation is in the Holy Scriptures. What Jesus came to fulfill is the utterance of the prophets. Remember in Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God who has many times in time past, in diverse manner spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, okay, and then the express image was possible, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. He is the one that fulfilled, he has inherited all that the prophets spoke. So the four Gospels is Jesus explaining what the prophets said, so that when people see those things fulfilled, they will understand what the Spirit of God is doing. Say amen. Alright, so Acts chapter 2 now. It says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That is, they were gathered together by instruction. They had the same teacher. They were exposed to the same teaching. They were expecting the same things. They responded the same way. That's the church of Jesus. It is one spirit. It's the same faith. It's the same Lord. It's the same teaching. It's the same conviction. So they were all with one accord. We see 120 as a template for how the church functions. They were all together with one accord in one place. What is the word accord? They were in agreement. They were taught by the same master. They had the same instructions. They were meant to yield the same way. They had the same understanding of the scriptures. They knew what was going to happen. So when you see, and suddenly does not imply they didn't know what was going to happen. Suddenly simply means they entered into the fulfillment when everybody understood clearly what was going on. You see, he says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Again, the writer is narrating. So you have to permit the use of language. When he says, there came a sound from heaven, don't leave the instructions that Jesus gave to them.
Jesus came to communicate that they were going to become temples of the living God, that the Spirit of God will now reside within them. So when you hear a sound came from heaven, the one heaven is not referring to the atmosphere, it's referring to where they are seated in Christ Jesus. Say amen. And the Bible says that we're seated together with him where? In the heavenlies. Say, I'm seated in the heavenlies. Say, I'm the temple of the living God. I'm in the Spirit. The Spirit is in me. So where is the Spirit? Where is the Spirit? Is the Spirit heavenly? Are you heavenly? Now you're getting it. So if the Spirit is heavenly, then you are heavenly, and you're seated in the heavenly, which is in Christ Jesus. So a sound came of heaven means the sound came from where they were, where they were seated. They were with one accord. That means anyone wouldn't have the same inheritance, the same teaching, the same instruction, wouldn't have the same Spirit, can't hear that sound. It is the Spirit that they have, the teaching that they received, the understanding they were given, that made everybody hear the same sound because they were born of the Spirit. Remember, in verse 8 of the previous chapter, Jesus said to them, and you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost, look at Acts, he said, but you shall receive, after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses, proof producers. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus, the proof of it is the fact that they will receive, or man will be able to initiate things in the Spirit. They will receive, they will take power. Because the power is present, because they were born out of a work of power. Because power is present, then they will receive. So the instruction was to take. They were able to take because they began in that power, which is the Spirit. It says they will receive power. And when they take, the word receive there means to lay hold on something. To take on something that is present. How would they know it's present? Their spiritual faculties were opened by the new birth. Say amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm born again. Remember Jesus' teaching in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came. It's an interesting passage because Jesus told Nicodemus, are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Because Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a Pharisee. He was schooled in the scriptures. Jesus was like, didn't you read what Ezekiel said? Don't you understand the use of water in the scriptures refers to spirit? Haven't you conversant when the Bible says wind, it's talking about the activity, the unseen activity of the unseen God? That's what he's talking about. So he says, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom. That is, he cannot have experience related to the kingdom. Except he's born of water, and that water is the spirit, he cannot what? Enter, have experiences in line with the kingdom. So here were a group of people with one accord. They had been given an instruction. The instruction is for those who have the same spirit. They have the same savior. They've partaken of the same resurrection. Say amen. So there is nobody here this morning that can flow with me. Say, I have the spirit. I can flow in the spirit anytime I choose to. Glory to God. So now, when people don't flow in the spirit, it's either they are ignorant of who they are or their understanding of what God has spoken to them about. Now, Jesus spent 40 days. Listen, it will take 40 days of the resurrected Lord to communicate truths that they once saw on the pages of a book as a reality that lives in them now. 40 days, repeating the same thing. It's no longer sense knowledge. It's not that you are touching me, you are feeling me, you are handling me. What you can touch, you can feel, now resides inside of you. Hallelujah. That will take some time to communicate. Particularly if you've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. You slept with him. You woke up with him. You ate with him. You saw him go around. You saw him do miracles. He's going to do the same thing. But it now calls it greater than this. Why is it greater? Because I am going to be inside every one of you. So it's going to be greater. The work is going to be multiplied. It took me one Jesus in one place. It will be several Jesuses all over the place. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So when the upper Pentecost was fully come, that's the language of excitement. They are seeing it happen. They are seeing what Moses said happen. They finally understood Pentecost has nothing to do with 50 days. It has something to do with the resurrection of Jesus. People bearing proof and witness to that resurrection. They understood. It says that, and you shall take up power. And after you take up power, the Holy Ghost will be seen. He will be seen. So the unseen spirit that is in the church will not be put on display because you will take. In other words, the Spirit is at your disposal. The Spirit is available to be taken. The Spirit is available to be acted upon, to be yielded to. You will take up power. You will receive. So you are not waiting for God. You are waiting on God. There's a difference. Hallelujah. you know, I go for meetings outside of church. And from the airport, calls are being made to the protocol team. When they pick me up at the airport, they are calling each other. I can overhear the conversation. So at the entrance of the hotel, they are waiting for me. So when I get there and I arrive, they are no longer waiting for me. They are now waiting on me. Can you see the difference? So now that I have arrived, they are now waiting on. Means that now that he's here, whatever he says, whatever he wants to do, we are available. But they're no longer waiting for. So wait for means he's yet to come. He's yet to be a reality. When I arrive, it's now a reality. So my presence, whatever my presence means, is available within that immediate vicinity. We're not waiting for the Spirit. The Spirit has come. Because you are here, the Spirit is here. Remember that song? Because you are here, the power of God is here. Say, the power of God is here. Say, the power of God is here. Say, it's where you are seated. And for some of us, it's where you are standing. So why don't we see outbreaks? Because men have to be conscious. So sometimes it takes a believer standing up to jump and starts dancing. Say, okay, so there's dancing here right now. Why didn't you see it? Nobody received. Nobody took up. Nobody laid hold. But the power is present. Somebody would just shout in a meeting. And it was normal. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, when the prophecy was about to be expressed, there was a sound. So it's not a quiet something. Hallelujah. And some of you that come from very quiet backgrounds, and you just hum everything. When you come to the ghost meeting, you think like, must they make so much noise? Oh my goodness. The resurrection of Jesus is something to shout about. It's something to shout about. Hallelujah. If you were able to see in the spirit when he rose from the dead, if you see the increase in the activity of angels, you will never be quiet again. Jesus had seen it as a vision, as the prophecy about to be fulfilled in Luke 10:21. God says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. That's not quietness. That's a loud noise, a jump, a shout. It's spun out at the reality that the spirit will dwell in you, the spirit will dwell in me. At the reality, I will build my church. Hey! And the gates of hell will not stop you from shouting. It won't stop you from singing. It won't stop you from dancing. Because your singing and dancing, and just it will be perpetual. Jesus said, your joy, nothing takes from you. Mm-mm. A broken down car won't take this joy. Because where that joy is, nothing on the outside can affect the presence of God. Glory to God. That's the language of Luke. When the day was fully come, it was excitement. Fisherman, tax collector, Mary, the mother of Jesus, dignified woman, sitting down. And they had instruction, you will take up. So it is a function of when will you take up? But because the power is present. When will you take, you will take up power. And after you take up, don't mind the construction in the King James. It can mislead you. Notice, it says, you shall receive power after that the hope. Now, when it says after that, it says, it is after which the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, can't be seen. Jesus said, like the wind, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So, where our impulse comes from, you can see it, but you can see our response to the impulse. You can see our response to the promptings. You can't see because you are not born from where we're born. We're born of the Spirit. We're born from above. We see the things of the Spirit. We hear the things of the Spirit. We walk in the reality of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when the day of Pentecost was fully, now he's risen. Now he's seated. Now I'm alive. Now I know what to do. Now I've carried in prayer. Because in Luke, the same Luke that wrote Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1 said that in the book of Luke, he summarized it differently in Luke 24:49. Look at Luke 24:49. Because again, the teaching of God's word will cure you of unbelief. It will cure you of doubts. It will cure you of fear. Hallelujah. When people say things like, is all that shouting necessary? Is your blessing necessary? Is God's goodness necessary? Is your receiving blessing is necessary? Walking in victory is necessary? Is getting healed necessary? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's necessary. Woo! It's necessary. That's a voice of doubt. That is Satan trying to make you feel that you are a fanatic. I'm a Jesus fanatic. I shout wherever I am. If you can come in public, can come in public and you are not ashamed to smoke. I can come in public, I'm not ashamed to laugh. You are afraid, you are not ashamed to do nonsense before men. To drink in public and can sit at the pub. What's the matter with you? He is risen. He's alive. He's alive. And that's what brings the power of God on the scene. It's as though the power of God is dormant. His prayer is dormant. But somebody has to display it. Somebody has to demonstrate it. Somebody has to express it. I am that somebody. I am that somebody. Hallelujah. I am that somebody. And this is my season. This is my season. Hallelujah. How do you feel when you just hear that what Isaiah waited on, that what Moses was looking forward to, a prophet like unto me, shall the Lord your God raise up, Acts chapter 3, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things. God will raise him up. Moses prophesied. He will raise him up. But I don't say God will. I say God has raised him up. I'm a partaker of that raising, that resurrection, that life. I am here as a witness. He has been raised. I'm alive today because he's alive. Because I live, you shall live also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Acts chapter 2, he says, look at that. He says, behold, I send the promise of my father where? Upon you. For tarry ye where? In the city of God, until you be clothed upon. Luke is writing. The same Luke that wrote Acts chapter 2. The same Luke that told us, you shall receive power. He now says, notice what he says, tarry in Jerusalem until you sink into, the word and you means to be clothed upon, to sink into reality. Now, you don't bring the reality, you sink into the reality. The resurrection made the reality your reality. So the teaching of God's word has changed. The teaching has changed from look for it to receive it. Be clothed with it, be endued with it. Walk in the liberty of it. It has changed. That means activity is required of you when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Divine activity is required of you. Hallelujah. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Verse 2. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and he filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, clothed with tongues of fire, and they sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is what? They began to speak. Notice, they were all filled. Again, if you're reading that in English, this is a translation. And almost every translation is an interpretation. So you have to read contextually. They were all filled, and it's not a conjunction, it's an explanation. They were all filled. The word hand means that is, even. I mean, that's what the word hand means. It says, they were all filled. That is, they began to speak. So what does God call filling? It is a man yielding by speaking. Where did they learn it from? They learned it from Jesus. Jesus kept emphasizing the speaking, the speaking, the speaking. The Spirit cannot be seen, but his activities can be made manifest as you learn to yield by speaking. Glory to God. This is prophecy fulfilled. So a quiet believer is not a triumphant believer. A quiet believer, you know, say, I don't really think all that nonsense, you know, must we really, really jump? You better jump. The only reason why you're not jumping is because the revelation of who you are in Christ has not settled upon you. If you understand that you are now Lord over Satan and his courts, that you are not a master over death, that you have a choice and a say in the resurrection, because as he is. So can you imagine Jesus dull, depressed, sad, waking up on the wrong side of the bed? No, every side is the right side. Every side is the right side. Because victory is on my inside now. Hallelujah. I only stay depressed and sad for as long as I don't express victory. But victory is an utterance away. It's a shout away. It's a dance away. It's a laughter away. I have to realize that. Enough of the way I even feel today. Who cares about how you feel when I know that he's risen? My feeling doesn't matter. The resurrection is all that matters. Jesus spent 40 days teaching them about the things of the kingdom, the things that have to do with the resurrection. It's a big deal. It's God's biggest deal ever. Glory to God. If you can't shout for the resurrection, nothing else can make you shout. I tell you, nothing. Jesus kept speaking in light of it. John chapter 7 from verse 7. On that great day, that last day of the feast, Jesus cried out and said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. And that's one of the few texts that's so clear about the things of the Spirit. Because Jesus did not leave that statement hanging. But this specky of the Spirit, now it wasn't Jesus, it was John now, having understood after Jesus rose what Jesus meant. You notice when you're reading it, you won't see that in red letter. That is John now explaining. He now said, this specky of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet. For Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So what happened, not when he was glorified, when they realized he was glorified. Let me explain. In Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, we're not reading about when Jesus was glorified. We're reading about when they realized he was glorified. The day of Pentecost came. Suddenly there was a sound. They were all filled. That is, they began to speak. That is, they began to walk in the reality. They began. That wasn't when he was glorified. That's when he dawned upon them. That's why he told them to tarry. That's why he told them to pray. The teaching of the word he gave to them, they needed to understand and receive and settle. Glory to God. You know, that's why sometimes when we are having these meetings and we're teaching God's word, why is it so crucial? Because it's like a spoon that we dip on the inside of you. We use it to stir things up on the inside of you. So that where you were dormant, you become active. So that the spiritual activity that is reminiscent of the church of living God, it can come into operation through you. Glory to God. So verse 4 again. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. By now you know my style of teaching. I just jump between verses. So if you are still over there, I've left you behind. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, they began to what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Everyone who didn't have the same Spirit, everyone who didn't partake of the same teaching, they were in doubt. They were questioning. They were amazed. They were wondering, what does this mean? Now, you are not going to say, what does this mean? If all you hear is people speak a language you've never heard, there must be other things that were taking place. So go to verse 14, see what has happened. Look at verse 14. Okay, see what it says? Others mocking, yeah, verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of what? New wine. Uh-huh. Remember what Jesus said. You know, they were right without knowing they were right. Oh, you didn't get that. They were right without knowing they were right. In the marriage of Cana of Galilee, remember what Jesus told? Mother of Jesus came, they have no wine. And Jesus told the mother, what have I to do with the woman? My hour is not yet come. So Jesus will use a natural situation to explain what? A spiritual reality. So Jesus used wine as a figure of speech to explain eternal life residing inside of men. It was true at that time, there was no wine in humanity. And Jesus is that wine in his resurrection. Eternal life living inside of men. Hallelujah. So when he was telling them, go and fill six water pots with water. Six represents man. Water is a figure of speech for humanity about to receive divinity. When the water changed to wine, it is humanity now receiving what? Divinity. That is the new wine in the resurrection. So when they were saying, these men are full of new wine, if only they knew what they were saying, because that was new wine. New wine is untainted. You don't understand? Unmixed. Or teleco. You know? Oh, sorry for that. I don't want to lose you. Which one can I use for you? Like a taju? Okay, which one? Okay, for now. You understand? Correct sacks. You know, not the one that is diluted, though. The one that he hasn't gone through processing. It came straight from source. You know, that one is not the one you take a bottle. Bottle, no. You, when you sit down, when you take a sip, you sit where you are for a while. Because you want to be sure that you can go home. Yes, sir. So you don't rush it. It's, you have to be taking your time. You know, you start talking to people as you're taking, because that talking to people is to clear your head. Because the influence already showing up. You guys have time to say, don't say you understand, because we'll mark you out now. Start saying, Sister Tenny understands. How many times has she been there? But notice that these men are full of new wine. That means there was activity. There was activity that spoke about drunkenness. There was activity that spoke about people under intoxication. These men, they were mocking. And again, like I said, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, there is excitement that cannot be fully explained with the human language. There's activity that can only have to do with the divine. You know, like I said, when people come in questioning, the reason why we are teaching is so that your questions can be answered and you come in with a full expectation. You have to come to these kind of meetings with a mindset of anything goes. You don't look and say, "Nah, sister, must every time she starts, see, you are criticizing when you should be receiving." That's a problem. Is he the only one in this world that will dance? But you have not danced. And you are missing out. Why don't you try what he's doing? We are with one accord. One accord means same spirit, same teaching, same faith, same liberty, same resurrection, same activity. So you are busy using your liberty for judging, for criticizing. Somebody is using his liberty to receive. Why are you not the first person shouting? Why are you not the first person running around? Why are you busy holding on to your seat when you should be jumping up in the air? So sometimes people just, this is how people forgo their blessing in a meeting. Because you are just busy, you're full of looking. See that sister again. The way he's even laughing himself like a cartoon. Meanwhile, you have not laughed. You have not rejoiced. Yet the Spirit is present. Yet the ability is here. Yet God's power is mightily made available. Hallelujah. When the things of the Spirit are taught in such a simplistic manner, it's so simple, you need help to miss it. They're asking you to laugh. You are saying, "Why should I laugh?" But if you go to the upper level and say, "Jump down 7 times, you will jump. Go and bring a human head, you will not go to your village. God forbid. Amen. When they ask you to do things, these things are so simple, but they are foolishness to those who are too wise for God. But you are not among those who are too wise for God. Say, "I have wisdom of God. God's wisdom is in me in Christ Jesus." Glory to God. These people too had never experienced, but they were taught and they were open to the manifestation of God's word. That's what they had. They were open to the manifestation. So when people came, some were amazed, others mocking. The two categories were not present in the teaching of Jesus. They didn't have the same spirit. They didn't have the same liberty. They didn't have the same salvation. They were not born of the Spirit. So they couldn't enter or see the things of the Spirit. But these ones were born of Spirit. They were where the Spirit was. And the activity of Spirit was not being demonstrated through them. Glory to God. They said, "These men are drunk with new wine." Look at what happened. Look at verse 14. Peter standing up. So do you know all this time they were seated? A lot can happen when we are seated. A lot can happen when we are seated. That's what we need to realize. A lot can happen where we're seated. Now, to be sitting doesn't mean they were all sitting. It simply means they were in a sitting position when the activity started. So they were seated, and then some were singing, and then some were shouting, and then some were rolling on the floor, and then some were laughing. It's not even that we're all doing the same thing, but we're all expressing the same word, Spirit. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, "Have you danced in the Spirit before? Have you laughed in the Spirit before? Have you run in the Spirit before?" Say, "I come behind in no good gift." Hallelujah. And this season, everything it takes, I will jump in. 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 That has to be your persuasion. You don't come in from the angle of, "I hope you are persuaded about the things that will happen." Peter standing up with the 11. So out of 120, 12 people stood up. Then Peter began to do what Jesus did for them for 40 days. He began to explain. So Peter standing up with 11. So notice what Peter said again in that book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 verse 15. And said, "These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." That's 9 a.m. in the morning. So this activity was going on for about 3 hours, from 6 a.m. So about 9 a.m. Look at the next verse. It says, "But this is that which was spoken by who? The prophet Joel. It shall come to pass." You know, it's exciting when you're teaching what the people should recognize, because this was preached to them mostly every Sabbath day, but they didn't know the fulfillment. But you are now standing in the fulfillment. So it says, "This was that which was spoken." What was spoken? "It shall come to pass." I have news for you. It has come to pass. It has come to pass. But notice what Joel said. He said, "It shall come to pass in that days. I will pour out my spirit" where? "Upon all flesh." I, personal pronoun for God. I will pour out. So the question you should have asked is, God said, "I will pour out." But we're not seeing God, we're seeing you. We're seeing men. We're seeing 120 men in different states of intoxication. It shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit. The word pour out means to empty out, to shed abroad. That is to give until there's nothing else to give. It means to give the spirit in a measure until there's nothing else God can give you. It says, I will pour out. So you will see the spirit in its varied manifestations. That's what it means. I will pour out. It means to empty out. It means to shed abroad. It's the same word. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Upon means my spirit's presence, my spirit's activity will be visible upon all. Who is the all flesh? See what it says? What I mean is that I mean your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. Can you see that? They will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall. The word shall is a strong affirmation in English language. The shall means ability is native to these sons and daughters, and that native ability is an ability that enables them to prophesy. So there's no such thing as a believer that cannot prophesy. There's such a thing as a believer who has not prophesied. But there's no such thing as a believer who cannot prophesy. It says, they shall, Joel said so by the Spirit. So I will pour out. So this is the activity of God. So God's activity is seen in my activity by my yielding. Let me say that again. God's activity is seen in my activity as I yield. I will do the yielding. God's activity will be seen. Glory to God. 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 Now, let me say something. Do you know why most of you did not respond? You thought I was trying to get your attention. So, can you see the varied responses has to do with what do you think glory to God means? It means glory to God. It means give glory to God. So, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when we say glory to God, who will give God glory? It's men. It's you. It's everyone in whom Christ is glorified. If Christ is glorified, then you laugh this morning. Hold on. Hold on. Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you have joy unspeakable? Okay, now, does that joy come by feeling or by faith? Is this a reality in you right now? Okay, so the reason why when you're going to work, you're not expressing is because you want to comport. You are in a public transport. You know what men will say? These people here, they are nice. They said, what meaneth this? I says, these people are drunk with new wine. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, 23, he said, will they not say you are mad? We did not say you are mad. I said, you are doing tongues in the bus and they hear you. I don't know how many times I've been doing tongues on the tongue show and people were greeting me. They thought I was greeting them. So I just waved. You know why? They don't, because the only way for them to understand what you are doing and for them not to conclude you are mad is to think you are greeting them. Because the other thing is like, this country is even talking to himself. Oh my God. He's talking to himself. This country is talking to himself because they don't understand that as new creations we talk to ourselves in the Holy Ghost. He that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men, he's speaking to God. No man understands how be it in the spirit. In the spirit, I'm generating activity in the spirit. I'm generating activity in the spirit. So as they began to speak, they were filled. As they began to speak, they were filled. The speaking was a feeling. They were intoxicated. They came under influence. Elonan graced it. So prostive rather cut it. The infection in the ear is healed. You are healed right now. For the healing Lord is here. And is healing you of every infection. Healing you of every infection. Now, Joel said, it will come to pass. It has come to pass. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What didn't Joel capture? Joel didn't capture tongues. Joel went straight to the effect of tongues. So they began to speak with other tongues in chapter 2 verse 4. In chapter 17, Joel was quoted as saying, my sons and daughters will prophesy. That means between that verse 4 and verse 17, something transpired. They began with tongues, but they didn't stop with tongues. They interpreted, and when they interpreted, in it is called prophesying. Hallelujah. It's called prophesying. So what you see in Acts chapter 2, for them to say, what does this mean? For them to say, these people are filled with new wine, was interpretation of their tongues, which Joel calls prophecy. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Again, when you're reading that, don't imagine God with a bucket that is big and just pouring. No, he said, I will pour out of my spirit. Where is God's spirit? In me. Say, God's spirit is in me. Say, God's spirit is in me. Say, to pour out means to empty. Say, it means to empty. It means to shed abroad. Say, God's spirit is in me now. The activity of that spirit can only be seen when I begin to manifest it. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 2 is the church demonstrating, manifesting, expressing the things of the hidden spirit. Notice Peter was explaining what the people saw. And Peter said the explanation is from Joel. Now, Peter didn't stop at Joel. He went on to David. He spoke about the resurrection as David spoke about it. In fact, he quoted David more than he quoted Joel. Joel was just 3 verses. For the rest of the verse, he began to quote what David had written. You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer. You only want to see what? Corruption. You may not tell me the ways of life. He began to quote Psalm 16 because David had already spoken. He was using Joel's prophecy and David's prophecy to explain what was happening. So it was written, it had been prophesied, it was now being fulfilled. The reality is, I will pour out, or the activity of spirit shall be seen through you, it will be seen through me. It's a reality now. So we are on shouting grounds. Listen, we've left that season where we used to pray, oh God, come down and manifest your power. No. We've left that time. The times of ignorance, God has winged that. Hopefully, it's no longer waking. He has winged that. Oh God. And he was like, oh God, move. No. Oh son, go on and manifest my power. Sons that realize. Sons that know. Sons that understand. They walk in power. They manifest power. Notice what it says in that verse 17 again. Let me show you something there. A quick demonstration. Verse 17. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Glory to God. So it shall come to pass, in the last day said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What is all flesh? Not cats and dogs. I mean your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Or visions will unfold through prophecy. They will see Linu Krastelia, Estro Niambro, Kieste Fredila Kata, Enstro Kiliato, Efri Elegaka Este. There are but a few more days left, and the year is running up. Yet he crowns the year with goodness. So expect goodness. Expect nothing but goodness. Expect nothing but goodness. Expect nothing but goodness. Ah, it's not over. It's not over. His goodness is counting. Every day will be counted for something new, for something great, for something good. Receive all the goodness that he has made available for this season. You will yet sell. You will yet prosper. You will yet increase. You will yet go back home with plenty. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. They will see visions. They will have divine revelations. Where did they start from? They began. So they initiated what was made available. Why would they begin? Because there's a supply. They can only begin because there is a supply. Jesus said, you will take up. You can't take up what is not present. So you will take up, which is you receive. And after you receive, the power will be seen. We will see what you have received. How did they receive or follow that instruction? They began. So it means the beginning is the activity of men walking in the power of God. It's the activity of men who are walking in the power of God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall. It's not doubt. It's not a doubt. The doubtful statement. It's a statement of fact, reality. They shall. Say, I prophesy. Say, I prophesy. Because I speak with tongues. So how do you know you can prophesy? Can you speak with tongues? Can you begin in tongues? So what was their beginning? They began with tongues. Somebody says, well, pastor, I've never prophesied because you didn't begin with tongues. So if you begin with tongues, what will happen? You will prophesy. If you prophesy, what will happen? Well, you will see visions. Oh, no. See, what is the difference between the visions they used to see in the Old Testament and visions now? The visions then did not require them to speak, but today in the New Testament, what is common to everything is that you can speak with tongues, you can prophesy, and from what you have said, visions can unfold. Will I say that again? From what you have said, visions will unfold. So we speak what we are going to see. It means to the degree to which I begin, how far have you gone from the beginning? Because the beginning means there is an end. And surely your expectation will not be cut off. Hallelujah. What's the expectation? They shall prophesy. What did the early church do? They began. How? They did tongues. What did Joel say? Prophecy. Where did they end up? They prophesied. They prophesied. So Joel's prophecy was used to explain what was going on, because obviously they didn't stop at tongues. Obviously they spoke in tongues and they what? Interpreted. Go quickly to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's see something. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's do from verse 1. Quickly. From verse 1. Follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Notice, but rather. That means prioritize this, or let this be what you are following. You follow after love. You let love lead the way, and love bring you into a place of desiring to what? To prophesy. So you're coveting spirituals. Your desire for the things of the spirit is that you will end up communicating those things in a language men will hear, they will receive, they will understand. That's what it means. That's what it's calling love. When it says follow after love, or let love be the motivation. So I am going to minister the things of the spirit to you with love in mind. What is love? Love means that I will minister it for your profit. I will not minister it to show off. I'll minister it for your profit, to bless you. That's the way of love. Hallelujah. As way of love. In fact, let me put it this way. When a man is not prophesying around you in a meeting like this, the man is not walking in love. Tell your neighbor, walk in love. Walk in love. Lay hands. Shout. Dance. Sing. Prophesy. Move in the spirit. That's somebody. What are you doing? You are walking in love. You are walking in love. Because the spirit always wants to bless. But the blessing of the spirit will not be seen until somebody acts. Somebody steps out. Somebody does something. That's how the activity of the spirit is seen. So he says, follow after love and desire the things of the spirit, but rather that you may want prophesy. Next verse. It says, for he that speaks in tongues is not speaking unto men, but speaks unto God. For no man understands how be it where in the spirit. He speaks what? Mysteries. Verse 3, quickly. But he that prophesies speaks unto men, one, edification, exhortation, that is comfort. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies who? The church. Look at verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you what? Prophesy, for greater is he. Well, the word is italicized. So he's saying, the one who is prophesying is rendering a greater benefit than the one who is speaking with tongues only. The one who is speaking in tongues has begun. It's a journey. The beginning is not the end. The beginning signifies a journey. What is the journey? Joel says they will prophesy. Where did you begin? You began with tongues. So that you began with tongues, what does it tell us? That you are in a family. That we have the same spirit, you have the same language. That you are on your way to fulfilling what Joel said. Amen. Amen. So notice, whatever Joel said was manifested among the 120. But Joel summarizes it as, he shall prophesy visions. Prophesy visions. So that must happen. If it wasn't happening, Peter would not have used it to what? Explain. Now, we know that beyond that, there were physical demonstrations of the Spirit. Because nobody says you are drunk when you are sitting down doing nothing. My brother, are you drunk? Are you drunk? He said no. And he's right, because he's not. He's very alert. But you notice, people that are drunk don't tell you they are drunk. It is people that tell them that are what? Okay, now, let's be said with ourselves. Among all of us here, please say, don't you know people here that are regularly filled? Don't you know them? If I say point them out, won't you know them? They say, oh, in our meeting, that they are first responders. In fact, to know the spirit is present, just look in their direction. You know what we should do in meetings like this? Look out for them and follow them. That is, Pastor Bimba is jumping on one leg. I also jump on one leg. That's not exactly, what if I can't balance on one leg? Do your own, but follow her. Follow her. Why? You are following good example in such a meeting. They all began. Doesn't mean they equally started speaking fluently. It is obvious, likely people like Peter would have spoken more, because it was Peter that stood up to teach. That means Peter had a stronger grasp and understanding of what Jesus taught, and he was able to act to the point of explaining the activity that took place. So they began means everybody did tongues, but they didn't stop at tongues. They prophesied to fulfill what Joel said. That means there was a shouting time, there was a dancing time. Hallelujah. There was a shouting, there was a dancing time. And there were visions and other things that began to take place because they followed the understanding of scriptures. Notice, greater is he that prophesies than the one who just stops at tongues. Why? For the benefit of the fold, that he may edify the church. He may edify the church. So when I begin to start, if I start with tongues, that's the starting point. It's a journey. It's a beginning. The beginning is not the end. The beginning implies there's an end. I continue from that beginning because it will lead me somewhere. In fact, look at verse 6. See what it says in verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you, what? Beginning. Say speaking with tongues is beginning. Say speaking with tongues is beginning. So let everybody speak in tongues. I want to go. Stop. I'll tell you why I say everybody speak in tongues. Number one, as a practice. Number two, some people are dozing. Amen. You know, as you can see me, I can see you. The only thing is I can see all of you. I may not be looking at you. So some of you, maybe you had vigil, personal vigil. Not prayer. You are shout dozing, shout. And we can see you. It's not the Holy Ghost that's seeing. It's me as I see you. And I'm helping you that begin. Brother, sister, begin. What is the beginning? Notice, if I come unto you speaking with one, tongues. What does Luke call tongues in Acts chapter 2 verse 4? They began. So if I'm doing tongues, what am I doing? I am beginning. That's the beginning. There's an end. I will step over into what? Other things. So can I do tongues and shout? Okay. Can I do tongues and sing?
Yes.
Can I do tongues and laugh?
Yes.
Have you been speaking in tongues before and laughter came out? I mean, have you done that? Okay. So can you see it is just a beginning that brings a consciousness of what is already what present inside you? Hallelujah. It's a beginning that brings a consciousness. But the issue is that those things are already what present. They're already present. How is it, then, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by what? You know, it's very interesting. I spoke tongues until I interpreted. When I interpreted, I brought revelation to you. When I interpreted, I brought a prophecy to you. When I interpreted, look at the content. Revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or by what? A teaching. I brought a teaching to you. Joel says, I can bring you a vision. But I began. I began where every believer has the ability to begin. Now, it is not everybody that has to. Those who stand inside in offices may not begin. Or may niano sivrana kile. Estro navrana kile. Pastor C, come. Come and stand there. Now, when we are having such meetings, instructions will come. Let me say this. When instruction comes, if you wait too much to analyze, you get into the senses. And if you get the senses, you will miss the moment. So what should you do in a meeting? When an instruction comes, be bold to ask. Question less, act more. What is Pastor T meant to do? He's meant to run down the aisle. Why is he running? I don't know yet. Will I know? Yes, I will know. Now, the harvest that is delayed, it will come in. It will come in. It will come in. Guess what? He's not the only one with the delayed harvest. There are people here with the delayed harvest. So when are you going to do your own running? When are you going to reap the harvest? When are you going to take over? When are you going to take over? All that you are meant to have. When? Glory to God. 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 God is not slack. 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 If it appears not to be working, we walk it. If you hear me? If it appears not to be working, we what? We walk it. We walk it. So we receive instructions that will just walk it. You need to walk something this morning, sir. You need to walk something this morning. Go ahead and dance some and just walk it. Walk it. Walk it. Walk it. Walk it. Make it work. 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 The activity of the Spirit is seen in our gardens. The instructions, they come from within us. we suddenly know what to do. Now, because you don't know all to do immediately, doesn't mean you should not begin. The beginning is what is given to all of us. It is guaranteed. He said, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit? So profit is in speaking. But here's the issue. You don't even begin. So the profiting that's already present is not even sure because you are even afraid to begin. So sometimes you... There's a spotlight on you right now. Yeah, I'm talking to her. Yeah, I'm talking to her. I'm talking to her. I'm talking to her. Yeah. Dance. Just go ahead and just dance. Just go ahead and dance. It's going to work out better than you thought. Yeah. It's going to work out better than you thought. Far better than you thought. Far better than you thought. Suddenly, it's in that passage. How many of you know suddenly in that passage? No, suddenly means that we're given to sudden revelations. As we flow with the cute yalasia too. So, the demonic attacks on your mind, they are 18 of the past. They will not come again. Be not afraid. Rejoice and say, I'm free. My mind is free. 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 I will not be afraid. Satan, I'm free. In the name of Jesus, I walk in liberty. My mind is free. My mind is free. I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. Oh, give him a shout of praise. Glory to God. Give him praise. Glory to God. Can we say together, listen, can we say together, in the name of Jesus, every ungodly growth present here this morning, dissolve, dematerialize, in the name of Jesus. Every fibroid is melting away right now. Every ungodly growth is dissolving right now by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. They know the doorway to the wombs of certain women is being opened right now. It's being opened right now. It's being opened right now. Babies in the coming year. Conceptions, babies in the coming year. In the coming year. Conception, babies in the coming year. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're not afraid to ask for more time. You're not afraid to ask for more time. I don't know what that means. But it says, be not afraid to ask for more time. Ask for more time. Let the timing be right. Let there be full clarity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some things you are asked to say, I don't know. What I said to you, I don't know what it means. Sincerely speaking, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But you see, the good part is that we all have the same spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The most important thing that we... Hello, your hands are hanging down. Hanging down. There's judgment over your head. Sentence is about to be passed. You're sad. You messed up. You really messed up. And it has to do with funds. It has to do with your office. But I will bail you out. I will step in. I will step in. I have stepped in. I will bail you out. I will help you. I will assist you. I will bring you out looking clean. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. For the Lord is good, and his mercies endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercies endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercies endures forever. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus is the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, you're the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, you're the center. It's all about you. It's all up from my heart to you. The song is an instruction. Listen carefully. There are several people here this morning. The wrong steps, I'm not talking about her, the wrong steps you have taken, the wrong decisions you have made, the Spirit of God gave that song as a confession this morning that it will lead you by another way to recover what you lost, to recover from the mistakes you made. It will lead you, it will route you by another path so that the consequences of the wrong decisions you took or going to the wrong place, it would lead you. I see him walking with several people in the house this morning so that the mistakes and the consequences will no longer weigh on your experiences. That's why I couldn't sing beyond that particular verse. You see, the things of the Spirit, just follow as much as you know. You just follow. So we're going to sing that song again. Notice what it says, from my heart to where? The heavens. Jesus be the center. Let it be about him. Let him be the one that leads. Let him be the one that guides. Let him be his motives, not your motives. So that the correction, now, the word be the center is a prayer, an utterance, a declaration, because you're saying, I will go where you say to go. I will allow you to lead the way. I've done it my own way, it didn't work. And I will do it your way, because your way always works. Do you understand? Can we sing that song in worship again this morning? About you.
Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus, you're the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Lift your hands and just give him praise this morning and just bless him. Thank him. Thank him. He leads us, he guides us, he redirects us. Worship him. Just worship him. Oh, my league, rest us, brother Carlo, and dress him, brother Kadashi. He leads us, he guides us, he redirects our steps, he orders us in the way we ought to go. His grace is mighty, his goodness is seen, his ability is working in us mightily. There is no failure. There is no failure in our lives. There is no failure in our lives. There is increase and increase only. We grow strong in his wisdom. We walk in the light of his goodness all our days. Yeah, we are obedient children of a loving Father. We obey his instructions. We follow his leadings. We carry out his counsel. His way is our way. His will is our will. His work is our work. We give him all the glory and all the praise. Oh, what a glorious time that we are set for. What an awesome time that we are set for. A glorious time in his workings and in his will. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Yeah, his commandments are not grievous. Yeah, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. So we give him all the praise. We give him all the thanks for his faithfulness to us. His loving kindness that never fails. Oh, Father, we exalt. We give you glory. We give you honor for your faithfulness in our lives. Oh, Nianze, Ele Krusta, brother Patelea. Lemon Rakine, Petu Grand Sebrania Kadine Kaya, Kange Kesise Frada Kana, Oh Fradiele, Ekali, Ekonos, the Anagastia. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We trust you. We believe you. We thank your faithfulness. Oh, your faithfulness is our confidence. Thank you for the love with which you have loved us. Whatever may be on your heart this morning, that's like a care or a concern right now. It's not leaving this place with you this morning. It's not leaving this place with you this morning. Whatever that care or concern is right now, I want you to cast it upon him now. is walking in our midst. He's walking in our midst. He's walking in our midst. I want you to cast it upon him now. Say, Father, I cast all my care upon you. I hold nothing back. I live with nothing. I'll not go back to the closet to cry. My days of being down are over. My down days are over. My crying days are over. I lay it at your feet now and I call it done. I sit as settled. You are my strength. You are my joy. You are my song. You are my victory. Ah, thank you. As long as you are, I am. As long as you are, I am. I am. So I thank you. I thank you. Your hands are big enough. Your grace is strong enough. I thank you. I thank you. I give you praise. I call it done. I call it done. You will sort it. I can't sort it the way you will sort it. You will sort it. And I give you praise. Well, if you believe he has done it, go ahead and rejoice this morning.